Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, November 3rd, 2018, you're listening to PW Torch, a.k.a. on Saturdays, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I'm, of course, Rich Fan, joining you from picturesque Pittsburgh, as the folks in the area would say, bringing all the week's events and talking with you. So make sure, if you're interested in calling us, we're interested in hearing you, so give us a ring at area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. This week, I'm going to be joined by Dr. Shahid Abdulhadi, longtime caller and listener of the East Coast Cast, longtime guest on the East Coast Cast, and several time host here on the Deep Dive. Shahid's idea this week was sliding doors, missed opportunities in terms of wrestler matchups, feuds, and maybe a feud that might not have been able to hit the mark because of the time in which the person joined the company we're going to be discussing, or companies we discuss. So definitely hit us up, give us a call, and if you can't call, you can always email pwtdive@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to read any of your questions on air and answer them to the best of our abilities. This week was interesting because yesterday was Crown Jewel, as I mentioned on Wade's wonderful show, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast, the flagship, if you will. I didn't watch. I had enough fun watching the Twitter reaction to what went down, and Shane McMahon, with every passing year, has slowly lost the luster. He's like the uncle who would visit and bring candy and stuff, and the older you get, the more you realize, that's all he's got. It's kind of awkward. So as we go through this, I'm looking forward to talking with you guys. If you had any Crown Jewel thoughts, you're welcome. I know some of the other callers may have some thoughts as far as I think it was Evolution Will said he wants to call in and talk about, but we'll definitely talk wherever you want to talk, but like I said, the main name of the game this week's going to be sliding doors, missed matchups. So, without further ado, let me bring on my co-host for this journey for the next hour, Dr. Shahid Abdulhadi. Shahid, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad I was able to call in on this lovely Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I appreciate you making some things happen, moving some things to do it, especially because you came up with the whole idea, so I wanted to make sure you got it instead of just handing it off to some charlatan like Travis.
Oh, well, I definitely appreciate pushing him to the bottom of the pile. That's where he belongs.
So what made you think about the kind of mismatches and stuff like that? What was the match or the people that kind of started that thought in your head?
Well, it was always the, like, Attitude Era time, people always brought up, you know, how come The Rock and HBK never, like, had a match before? And when you're younger and you're, like, not a quote-unquote smart fan, kind of wonder, like, you know, he was around that time. Like, they definitely were around the same time, even though they didn't have a lot of overlap in time. So that was one that kind of stood out. And then you get a little older and you wonder, oh, yeah, there's a reason they never had a match. And it makes sense, but it's always kind of like one of those things. Like you see two great wrestlers that you're fans of, and you always do like create a match or create a feud when you have video games. And it's like, why don't such and such wrestle this? And that's always fun in wrestling because it's always been a thing since as far as we watch wrestling.
Yeah, and with Shawn Michaels, I know we've got a couple of tweets about this. Shawn Michaels and The Rock was the gimme, but when you look at that time and you look at kind of who he was rolling with and the stuff they were doing, and why The Rock wouldn't necessarily want to be about that life, it makes total sense. But how would a feud like that even start because of the way they were, the worlds they were in at the time? And what year would it be? What year would have to be the best time for them to had the feud?
Well, you could always have. Remember, like, the first episode of SmackDown was Triple H and The Rock for the title. Shawn Michaels is the guest referee, and you see that clip a million times. Triple H hits The Rock with a super kick, so Triple H can win the match, and it's kind of like there's a feud right there. But it always seemed like it was just a one off thing. So I guess that was when Shawn Michaels was still going through the stuff he was going through. By the time he came back and he was quote unquote reformed Shawn Michaels, The Rock really wasn't there anymore. So it was one of those you thought about, oh, they could have had a match, but it wouldn't have been organic, even though you could have just used that as the base of the feud. And that was never like my dream opponent when I thought about like a dream match that didn't happen with The Rock. Because I know people bring up that all the time, but as The Rock would say, you know, Mary had a little lamb, piss on Mary, piss on the lamb, and piss on HBK. Like, hearing all the outside stuff that happened about how HBK and Triple H basically was trying to hold The Rock back when he first started, you could see why The Rock wouldn't want to mess with that.
Yeah, and he had, you know, he had a guy like Pat Patterson watching his back and seeing how Triple H, Michaels, the Click were kind of arranging things in the back politically. Why would you want to kind of even be involved with, I just heard Wade and Bruce talk about on his Bruce Mitchell show, the idea of having to deal with Triple H for the past almost 15 years saying, it's time for me to win. And imagine how The Rock would get sucked. I mean, think about CM Punk. He could have been the CM Punk in that situation where it's like, yeah, we'll get your win back after Hell in a Cell. And then Michaels just goes on to something else.
Yeah, like, it says a lot of how good The Rock was that he was able to overcome all of that and not deal with that. Because it was funny, like, back then when you look at, like, the Attitude Era, like, who would lose to who? Like, Stone Cold barely lost to anybody beyond, he lost to Triple H once. And it was kind of, like, more of, like, a fluke thing. He didn't lose to The Rock clean until the day before he retired. You know, stuff like that. Triple H used to squash everybody, you know, or go trade wins with The Rock, except for The Undertaker. You know, that was the thing, like, The Undertaker used to always beat him. It was kind of like, it was that one, everybody had that person that they would always lose to or that they would never lose to. But as far as The Rock, my choice would be, and it's actually somebody that he mentioned himself, he always said that his biggest lament was that he never got to wrestle Rey Mysterio. Like, he said his dream feud would be a heel Rock versus Rey Mysterio and have a match in San Diego.
Oh, wow. That would have been...
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, because a heel Rock would
like
say all
Hollywood...
the... Oh, go ahead, Shahi.
Yeah, like he said, you know, his Hollywood, like, you know, when a Rock came back, like, Hollywood version, like the heel that was so good, he ended up becoming face because he was just two times a heel. He always said, like, he would have loved to, like, you know, have a feud with Rey Mysterio. He get to be the big heel bully and have Rey overcome him in his hometown, because The Rock doesn't have a problem with losing. If it's like, good, you know, quote unquote, good for the business. And that would have definitely been an entertaining feud, because people would have definitely wanted to see Rey get over on The Rock. The Rock would have made Rey Mysterio look like $1 million. And it definitely would have been an entertaining thing.
I'm just thinking about the way he would sell the West Coast pop. Like, Rock would probably
triple
flip.
Oh, he's rolling out the ring. He's doing two flips.
Yeah, you'd have to have, like, the Olympic judges ready to put numbers up.
Yeah, no, I thought about that, son, because, one, The Rock's definitely known for selling the Stone Cold Stunner better than almost anybody. And then, two, I thought about selling, because of that mixed match challenge, will Alicia Fox on that eclipse, like, she got shot by two snipers. So, I definitely wanted to see how The Rock would have just sold that. And just the whole... Just The Rock's mindset that's something he would have thought about. Like, you know, I would love to be the bad guy against Rey Mysterio and Rey Mysterio's hometown. Like, that's wrestling 101 thing. But you wouldn't think of, like, a big guy, like a big name like The Rock saying, I want to put over the, I want to put over the hero. Ric Flair, you can see him saying that because Ric Flair is like a born heel. But most of the big guys that are like, you couldn't pick the Undertaker. You had some of his dream matches. It's like, yeah, I want to tap out. I want to get tapped out by Daniel Bryan. Like, you, your eyes will roll out your skull if he said that.
Yeah, like him, his dream match would have been a couple of years ago against Brock when they had that showdown at UFC.
Yeah.
And then real life kind of...
You know, his whole thing is like... Yeah, like his whole thing is be like, you know, I want to do a man's fight and thing. And Undertaker's always dream match people tend to brought up was Undertaker and Sting. You know, that was kind of like, you know, they fit kind of the same gimmick more than wrestler type vibe. Undertaker in WWE, Sting in WCW. And it's like, you know, it's something you can think about, but you never think it happened. Then Sting actually got signed by WWE. So people wonder, like, is there a chance? And then, you know, Triple H took that spot for whatever reason. Well, we know the reasons. Like, they got to kill the ghost of WCW once and for all. And then he has a match with Seth Rollins. He gets hurt, and that's all she wrote. It's one of those, a match that sounds good on paper, but, you know, Sting at his age and Undertaker at his age, that'd be like, you need a whole bunch of smoke and some big-ass mirrors to overcome that.
Yeah, you're right. And it's funny, when I think about that, you're right, the time frame where you were so close to having perhaps a Sting-Undertaker match, and then you had the injuries and that god-awful match where everyone had to prove that WCW sucked for the 800th time.
Don't remind me of that. Like, it's just weird. Like, I know it's not real. I mean, it's partially related to what we talked to, because a lot of dream matches don't happen due to politics. But that's been the biggest thing, is like WWE won, but they have to spike the football, come out during halftime, spike it again, pour Gatorade over themselves at the post game interview, and then come to the post game show and spike it in front of Tony Dungy. Like, I mean, like, you know, overkill is overkill. Like you gotta kill every WC legend just to prove a point. And then it's ironic that they do all of that with Sting and then put the title on Goldberg.
Oh, man, don't even get me just started about with that. Yeah.
Just think about that. Like, we're going to kill WCW to death. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, we just going to bring it back to the dead because he cut a great promo, and it's like, maybe we can make some money from it. And it just shows, like, you could have done that for like a decade if you didn't have such ego. So, but that's neither here nor there.
Hey, if you're a fan of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, which you obviously are if you're listening to this right now, check out Solomonster Sounds Off. It's a weekly show covering all the latest news in the world of wrestling, from WWE to Lucha Underground, New Japan, and everything in between, plus listener Q&A, rankings, and more. Check it out in iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or download directly from thesolomonster.com.
Now, one match, and then after this we will take some calls, that people definitely remember either from the Stone Cold podcast or from the conversations that have erupted from his podcast. That's Brock Lesnar and Steve Austin. Obviously, he quit over them trying to have him job the Brock on TV just to show him, again, political machinations, just to prove they could. And then right before WrestleMania 31 or 32, I think it was 32, he did the Steve Austin podcast on WWE Network and basically tried to – him and Paul went into business for themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I remember – I definitely remember that podcast. I remember people wondering, like, are they going to have a match or anything like that? And that's always been a weird thing just because it's kind of like – it's a match you want to see. But do you really want to see the finish? Right. It's like, you know, Stone Cold is a lot of people's heroes. You really want Brock Lesnar mauling him to death like a grizzly bear? Like, I saw the ending of Logan. People don't need to cry twice. And that's basically how that would have kind of ended. Consequently, Stone Cold really wouldn't have gained anything by beating Brock at the time. And it probably would have been worse off for Brock. It's just one of those, like, you know, it makes sense. It makes sense until you actually do it. And I think that's more like a time like one person was still a big star, but he was on the way down because Steve Austin wasn't really Steve Austin like that anymore. And Brock was on the way up, and you could have a match. Like, you have a match and make it and big it up, you know, but the end result would be, you know, it makes sense if Brock would win. And Stone Cold fans wouldn't want to see that. Like, you know, they don't like – that's the thing about Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, once he became Stone Cold Steve Austin, you didn't have to worry about seeing him lose a lot, because he – when he was a face, he didn't really lose all that much. And he barely lost clean because, you know, Clint Eastwood doesn't lose clean.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, I just – my brain just shut down thinking about him catching that F5 outside the ring that they put the gifts of Braun catching in Saudi Arabia. We would be doing like a – they'd have like a telethon for Steve Austin after that match.
Thoughts and prayers for Stone Cold Steve Austin on the Broken Back Ranch.
Broken Back.
So it's funny that you – it's funny that you brought up Steve Austin, because I thought you were going to go with the one people tend to go with him is like him and Goldberg.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
the one that makes more. Yeah, that's the one that people talked about. All that's the other one, and that's probably the bigger one besides Shawn Michaels and The Rock that people used to talk about all the time. Like when I was in school, you know, I was like a freshman in college when they were both hot, and people always wondered like who's going to win. Goldberg or Stone Cold, because Goldberg was Mr. WCW, Stone Cold was Mr. WWF. They were both bald with black trunks and black boots, but like Stone Cold was Mr. Tough Guy, I drink beer, I cuss, and Goldberg was like the Terminator. So it's like, and that would have been a match people always thought of all the time, but for whatever reason, that's another one like timing never made sense, because they were in the company at the same time, but Austin had stopped wrestling by the time Goldberg was signed to WWE. So it was like, it was one of those little bit too late. And for all the, will Stone Cold come back, you know, because it was rumors he might come back for a match. And it was always, you know, CM Punk or such and such. And it was like one of those people talked about it, but they never really thought it happened. And that definitely would have been a one more than Stone Cold and Brock Lesnar, because it's like, those are like the two big icons of that era, and it's just like a curiosity factor.
Yeah, and it's weird because with those two guys, they're built the same way as far as the aura. So like with your comment about Logan, like it would essentially be having two Logans, and how do you explain that in a story?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because it's kind of like, you know, when they were in their prime, it's like, you know, Superman versus Thor type thing. They get a little older, it's like, you know, these two old fighters, like Ali Foreman, one last, like, it's a way you can market it.
Yeah.
And it's like, depending on the time frame you did it, it just was circumstance never allowed that to get to that point. Because by the time you could have Goldberg, Steve Austin was gone. And that's the biggest thing whenever you involve Steve Austin. Like, Stone Cold has this big shadow across wrestling. But if you really look at his career, like, the Stone Cold Steve Austin version that we remember, like, ring time is probably, what, 2.5 years at the most, maybe 3. Because it's a lot of gaps where he was hurt, and it's a lot of gaps where he didn't wrestle. And then, poof, he's riding around an ATV drinking beer.
Yeah, speaking of that, I have another one, but I think I want to take, because we're doing a new format now, so I don't have to take as many breaks. Wade will take care of that on his end if he needs to add in an ad. So I want to take a quick break after our first call, and then that'll kind of give me an opening to talk about my next guy, which, just to get your brain working, will be Shawn Michaels and Eddie Guerrero.
Wow, that's an awesome choice.
Yeah, so we're going to go with our first call, and it's Mr. 862, longtime caller, loyal listener, and excellent co-host, Mr. Kylan Furlow. Kylan, welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Thank you, Rich. It is a pleasure to join, well, you at least.
Dang, you and Shahid got beef? I didn't know that.
That's one of those other dream matches that never happened because, you know, reasons.
Yeah, Yeah, well, it's not going to happen either. Although I think I could take it if it really was to happen.
Y'all are wild. So what do you have for us on this fine Saturday, Mr. Kylan?
Well, when you sent me the concept for this week, I decided to make up a list of matches that we will definitely not see. So tell me what you think of these. How does Roddy Piper and Dean Ambrose sound to you?
That'd be pretty good. Piper would probably bleed a lot. But I'd probably argue, and Shahid, you know, jump in. I probably would want to see John Moxley versus Roddy Piper, because I think John Moxley character was a sociopath, and that would play better with a face Piper than kind of like Dean Ambrose's antics.
Yeah, it's funny, when I was thinking about we were doing this, I was wondering if it was going to be like wrestlers that were around the same time, or like something that could have happened but didn't happen, or was it more like wrestlers from eras? Because yeah, I wouldn't, like, if it's from different eras, that opens up like a whole different can of worms. But like, for the sake of the argument, because no one wants to see Dean Ambrose, you know, beating up a crippled Roddy Piper. I mean, most people wouldn't. Yeah, I think it's more towards that, like, you know, like earlier Ambrose that you probably saw more than me when he wasn't at WWE as a heel versus lovable. It's funny thing about Roddy Piper as a lovable face, because I remember Roddy Piper when lovable was definitely not the word used for him. It's one of those, you know, Joker versus Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, agents, like the chaos going against each other, it's going to get a whole bunch of mess and chaos. People like chaos. So it's definitely something that's intriguing. And the thing about those type of matches, and I'm glad he brought up that match, is like, a lot of times we tend to focus on ring work. Like, you know, let's, like, somebody who's great in a ring at a certain time frame versus somebody else who's great in a ring at a certain time frame. And wrestling isn't always about that. Wrestling is, you know, a lot of times is about personality and engagement. And that's like the example he brought is a perfect, you know, example. What would happen with two wild men wrestling, like, you know, if Roddy Piper in his prime was wrestling 90s era Mick Foley and WCW type thing. Like, that's just, you know, madness versus madness on two different scales. And that's the type of thing, like, you would never see, but it's like, if you think about it, you always want to see.
In a similar vein to idea number one, how would you feel about the Legend Killer iteration of Randy Orton versus the early heel version of Jake Roberts right when he got to WWE, or the 1991 heel Jake Roberts?
Oof. Now, see, okay, for me, if it was 91 heel, they would be a tag team more than feud with each other. Because I think 91 heel Roberts and Randy Orton basically would be, they'd be two dudes on the same car, in the same car, so to speak.
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking about those names. And, like, one, you probably have to call the cops. Two, I would think the perfect iteration actually would be babyface, you know, as much as, like, we love heel Jake Roberts, if we're going to use Roberts and Orton, I would lean more toward 80s babyface Jake Roberts, where he was still a baby. He was still sinister, but he was a babyface. And current sociopath Randy Orton that's now, where it's like, I'm Randy Orton, I still have my pretty boy looks, and I'm fundamentally insane, and I accept that. Because it's like, you never had, like, Jake Roberts always was a thing of contrast. Like, he'd wrestle people that were, like, you know, playing one way or the other. And even when it's like, you know, Macho Man was Macho Man, is what Macho Man was, just like a good guy with a rough voice that just loved his woman and was like wild, not crazy at that point. You never really had, Jake Roberts getting involved, like, you know, getting involved with a crazy man, like having a feud with a crazy man, like once he got the WWF and went to WCW. So, and then from ring work, it's kind of funny where Randy Orton is is probably the smoothest. He's like the Tracy McGrady of his generation, where it never looks like he's working hard, but he's always in the right place. He's always doing the right thing. And everybody that's a wrestler that you respect his opinion tells you how good he is. Like, he has that Bobby Eaton characteristic about him. Jake Roberts is the king of, why do six moves when you can do two? So they would definitely have a great old school match that probably would involve a total of seven moves, and you definitely would be engrossed by every one of them.
And here's one that I know nobody probably thought of, and if anybody did, I would be very surprised. DDP versus Daniel Bryan.
Oh, wow. That would be, that would be pretty nice, because the height difference, the style of wrestling, DDP's a paint-by-the-numbers guy, and Bryan's been in WWE long enough that he can do that. And then, that's a really good matchup.
Yeah, you're right about that. No one thought about that. Same reason why no one has thought about having a movie with Al Pacino and Jason Statham, because that's not something that you would think about. But it's definitely intriguing, basically, because they are definitely a contrast in style, size, and personalities. And they both have in common of, like, I started from the bottom, now I'm here. I have no idea how that match would go, because it just seems like, you know, Daniel Bryan could definitely work DDP style. DDP could definitely not work Daniel Bryan style. But they're both like underdog. Like DDP's main thing was, I'm the underdog that overcame everything, and I ground my way to the top with the whole dichotomy, with, besides the fact that I had this hot-ass wife. Daniel Bryan is, I'm the underdog that scrapped my way to the top, even though I had this small size and I was conventional looks, even though I'm one of the best wrestlers in the world, and I also have a hot-ass wife. So it's a funny story where they're almost like the same type of story, and the main difference is Daniel Bryan is a better wrestler. DDP's bigger.
That's kind of exactly why I came up with them, because I wanted to see what kind of responses you would have.
Oh, no, we appreciate that, Kylan. Anything else for us before we get to our first break and take some more calls?
No, that'll be all, Rich. It was a pleasure, and I look forward to next week's assignment.
Oh, yeah, next week is going to be, I think next week's going to be a special time, because one of my colleagues here at the Torch is going to be on with me, and I believe he couldn't do the regular 6 p.m., so I'm going to look at this real quick so I make sure I don't screw it up. So next week's going to be Mike Mills, who does some work here at the Torch, and it's going to be a pre-tape, so it might play live here on Blog Talk, but we're going to record it at like 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. So if you are up at 10 a.m. and you want to partake in the deep dive, God bless. But if everybody else is trying to sleep it in or sleep off, do it. Oh, man. But yeah, so Shahid, before we come back, I'm going to go to our first break. And like I said, after that, when we come back, we'll plow through the phone calls, have a couple of tweet questions, a couple of emails, and more here on The Deep Dive.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive with Rich Shahid. We are joining you and looking forward to talking to you, so give us a call. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. So I'm going to bring on Mr. I think this is Will. Let me double check. 631, state your name and where you're calling from. Thanks for calling the Deep Dive.
Hey, what's up, Rich? This is Will.
Hey, Will.
Well, I sent you guys a tweet a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Kind of thinking about this whole thing, the format you guys were doing. And I see Shahid replied back to me, but I wanted to get your, you know, your opinion as well, Rich, about, you know, about 95, 96, and then Shawn Michaels versus 2017 AJ Styles. What kind of matchup do you think that could be?
I think that would be a good matchup. I think that 95-96 Michaels was very happy-go-lucky, like the boyhood dream and all that. So I don't think it would be as effective as, say, like the DX Michaels. But I think it would be – I think Shahid's – I think it would like make a lot of money in the South tweet is a good one because it would be just pure wrestling, like who's going to be the best man. But I would say, yeah, the only thing I would say is if you tweaked it to like early DX scumbag Shawn Michaels – and AJ Styles trying to do everything right, and I'm the guy who made everything work, that would be good.
I like that he picked that time because I thought of it more as kind of like that era of Shawn Michaels versus the pretty boy Southern baby. Like, they're Southern wrestlers, but different type of Southern wrestlers. Like, Shawn Michaels would definitely be the baby face in there because he looks like the Southern heartthrob that you meet at the oil field. AJ Styles comes off the Southern guy that drives the truck to the oil field. And it's like that whole contrast of different type of Southern thing where AJ would be jealous of Shawn Michaels, you know, you skimming around being all happy-go-lucky, probably ain't got dirt under your nails. I'm going to show you what a Southern boy is really about. And there you go. They both are great in the ring. The size difference is a size difference, but it's not like super noticeable where it would make a deleterious impact on the match. They definitely would have great matches. And it's kind of like, it tells that old story of like, you know, who's really a hero. It's basically like being a stereotype. Like Shawn Michaels is being that stereotype of the pretty boy hero. And AJ Styles is going to try to get over to prove that he's a real man in his community, quote unquote.
Yeah, because what I was thinking about was that 96 kind of time, you know, right after he won the title and everything, it felt like he was trying to prove himself as being more aggressive. And when you look at those kind of opponents he fought, you know, right after that WrestleMania appearance, you had Diesel, you had, you know, Mankind, you had Vader, stuff like that, really shows Shawn as being a scrappier dude. And you put that against somebody like now, AJ is that kind of pit bull kind of, you know, persona now. Two baby faces, but we're trying to one up each other. I think that could make, like, you know, a nice, good, you know, a little couple of match series of matches. You know, that was the reason why I picked those two.
No, it makes total sense. And looking at the way they wrestle, even back then, like Michaels' style would lend itself well to AJ and vice versa. And his sell of Styles Clash right. would be something that's on the list up there with The Rock selling 619.
Right. Well, one of the reasons I wanted to call was kind of give. Oh, go ahead, Gretchen.
No, it's funny that you also brought them up because they also share a lot of common of the undersized hero that was basically held back because of their size, and they had to prove that they had it by basically wrestling their behind off. Shawn Michaels had to go. And it's funny thinking about that because Shawn Michaels isn't small. But back in that era, when you look at him, like, it's the era of The Undertaker and Sid Vicious and everybody like that, yeah, he might as well have been a smurf. same thing with AJ Styles, where he's also not the biggest guy, but with AJ, it helps that it's a lot more people his size these days that's getting a chance, and also that he's on SmackDown, because AJ Styles on Raw would get lost in the weeds. Like, AJ Styles on SmackDown, the biggest person he has to deal with is Samoa Joe. So it's right. funny where they kind of shared that same thing where I'm small, I'm Southern. Shawn Michaels kind of grew up the Southern part. AJ Styles just used the Southern part to his advantage. So to see them like two sides of the same mirror looking at each other would definitely be intriguing.
Right. And to kind of go along with what you were saying about trying to prove yourself, one of the reasons, you know, I told Rich earlier today I wanted to call was kind of talking about that feel, the atmosphere there in Evolution last on Sunday. You know, everybody's been talking about how good the show was, you know, as a whole, but just the atmosphere of being there live was something crazy. It just being there, feeling the kind of drama with the history, it felt crazy. So seeing the era of ladies, you know, the various different eras of ladies who were there, seeing how they kind of fit in together, seeing how they kind of fed off each other, seeing how they kind of worked well together, you know, for this very historic pay-per-view, you know, allowed me, you know, I wanted to kind of share that. It's kind of like a reason why I wanted to call in, with this whole idea of thinking about different people who would match up well, you know, and have good matches, you know, for today's show.
Yeah, and I know you also
wanted
to chat.
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually...
Go ahead, Sean.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm glad he brought up Evolution, because we've been focusing on men, and then you look at, like, women, especially now, it's kind of like, it's a lot of dream matches that you could, like, fathom women-wise if we're doing different eras. Like, you know, of course people say, like, if China wrestled Beth Phoenix, that's the easy one, because they're both, like, you know, the dominant big women, everything like that. Size versus size, strength versus strength, athlete versus athlete. I would go a different route personally, because I would think of if you had TNA version of Awesome Kong versus Sasha Banks.
Oh my.
You know, talk about like just because you saw Awesome Kong and Gail Kim and how they basically messed, because it was kind of like Gail was the plucky underdog that held to overcome Awesome Kong being a monster. Sasha Banks is, you know, like a jumping jack. And she always looks like she has no bones whatsoever, and she'll take any bump. So imagine her basically trying to murder herself to try to find a way to overcome Awesome Kong somehow. It would definitely be entertaining. At the same time, you'd be wondering if you got to do a GoFundMe for her legs and spine and neck and ribs.
But toss some snakes there at the same time, like an Alexa Bliss being Awesome Kong's mouthpiece. You know, Alexa Bliss talking that talk, but Awesome Kong is like being her heavy versus, you know, trying to get over on Sasha as well. I mean, all those kind of things are super intriguing.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, I was thinking with the women, the first one that jumped out to me is, like, we've been so WWE heavy. The trio of assassins that took on Penta in Lucha Underground, which essentially is Io Shirai, Kairi Sane, and I cannot remember the third woman, against the Hart family in a mixed tag match. Because I think that those three versus Davey Smith Jr., Natalya, and her husband would be a pretty wild match.
It would definitely be wild, and it definitely be people will be wondering, like, the first time Davey Boy Smith Jr. slung Io Shirai into, like, the third aisle. I can just imagine the streets, like, you know, we need to talk about how professional wrestling needs to be more, like, appropriate towards women, because I'm a fan of Lucha Underground. I still watch Lucha Underground, and the only match I've ever been uncomfortable watching was that match involving Pentagon Jr. with those women, because he was hitting those women like he was, you know, Jimmy Lee and Double Dragon.
Yes.
Like, the only thing that was missing was a bat or a whip. He was not taking the E. You know, he was definitely in the whole Batman school of equal opportunity hands, because he was hitting those women like they were opponents and not women. And that got to the whole. And it's funny with a show involving time travelers and dragons and, you know, ninjas in Afghanistan. But yeah, that's the one match where I was like, I've only watched it once, and I've never rewatched it because it was like an entertaining match and it's not a comfortable match. It's a lot of like eras of women because, you know, you think about Manami Toyota versus Asuka, something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just how hard, like, it's just a zillion hard hitting women that most of us really didn't get to see because, you know, if you weren't a tape trader or you didn't have the friends, you might have caught them like if they were in WCW or if they were fighting Medusa when she was in WWF. Like, you know, but like you just think about all those women because the women were just trained to be as good as the men. And you just think about how the women now in America just reaching that point and just all the dream matches you could have. It's just like, yeah, this show could go like 6 hours.
And throw in WCW Jackie, you know, her persona back then with Kevin Sullivan and everything, you know, the way she used to, you know, jump on top of, you know, he would not snap your names, you know, on his back and beating the other men up. Like, that kind of strong style with, like, actually Japanese strong style women, you know, in today's era, I mean, that could, man.
Yeah, that'd be wild. I mean, I mentioned earlier, kind of talking about deceased wrestlers, the idea of Eddie Guerrero and Shawn Michaels having a feud and having a match series, but if you would have had an opportunity to, you know, hopefully if her health had been together and she had been together, like mentally, having a China versus, I wouldn't even say Beth Phoenix, I would say a China versus someone like Charlotte.
That's like a scene out of Bayonetta. Thinking of like those two, because it's like, you know, the thing about China was like, it's funny when you look at China now and like with our eyes, because China back then, you hadn't seen women like her. Like, she was just so much bigger and stronger than all of her peers, where she had to wrestle with men because you can think of like a woman beating her. But they have women in the Mae Young Classic that's bigger than China now.
Yeah,
like, you know,
right.
So it's like, it's, you know, when who's the Reina Gonzalez, when they talk about she's like 6'1", 205. Yeah, like you have, like the big girl is not a novelty anymore because you have plenty of big athletes. And, you know, that would definitely be an entertaining match, and it would be such a contrast because they're like both dominant in completely different ways. I have no idea who's supposed to be the baby face in that thing because China's baby face only worked when she's with Eddie Guerrero because Eddie Guerrero was so lovable. You know, you're only rooting for Shaw as a baby face if you're trying to kill Kratos and God of War. Because, yeah, who roots for Valkyries in real life? So, but it would definitely be entertaining in the ring.
Yeah. And
well, I appreciate, you know, let me have my call. You know, I appreciate your time and all that kind of stuff. You guys have a great show. I'm going to continue to listen in and listen to all the other dream matches too as well.
Oh, thanks. Well, always a pleasure, my man. Don't be a stranger. If you want to email, do it. If you want to call, do it. Whatever you want to do, always welcome.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
So, Shahid, before we close
So your match that she brought up.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, go for it.
I was going to, no. Yeah, like the match that you brought up with Eddie Guerrero, HBK. I'm mad that never happened because that seemed like something that should have happened because it's kind of like they would have probably tried to kill themselves to make a great match because they cared that much about having a great match. And it's like a perfect fit. Like, they're around the same size. They're both great wrestlers. Like, their styles just mesh, and it works either way, if Eddie's a face and HBK's a heel, or HBK's the face and Eddie's the heel. And it's like they got the whole Texas thing, the whole boyhood dream thing, the whole, you know, underdog. Like, any storyline you want to push with them, works. And any wrestling style you want to push with them works. Like, that's just perfect. And I hadn't even thought about that till you brought it up. And then I'm mad I didn't think about it first.
Well, it's sad because I was looking through to get ready for this when you came up with it. I started looking through the archives of The Observer and The Torch. And I guess prior to Eddie's death, that was a direction they were thinking of going. And that just made me, like, in addition to the like him for his family, like, as a wrestling player, I'm like, oh, the newly returned Shawn Michaels and Eddie Guerrero at the height of his power, that would, oh.
Yes. Such a shame. That's still the death that kind of, like, I think he's the first WWF, he's the first wrestling t-shirt I brought was his Eddie Guerrero RIP shirt. And it's like, yeah, that's still, it's funny, out of all the things that happen in wrestling, that's still kind of the one that probably, like, even just thinking about it, it's just like, it's just sad because it's like stuff he came, the stuff that he had to go through, even a lot of it's self-inflicted, the stuff that he got through, he basically gets to the pinnacle, gets crushed by his dreams, and then just goes out trying to hit a standard that he really shouldn't have had to hit. And it's not even like thinking about, you know, the family he left behind and the memories that we still have, you know, just from a purely selfish fan standpoint. You think about all the, like, great matches, like, you know, Chris Jericho's still wrestling. Like, Eddie Guerrero, if he was still around, wanted to wrestle, he'd probably still be wrestling if he wanted to. And that's just a real sad thing to think about. Like, he wouldn't be doing full time, of course, but he, you know, Rey Mysterio, we still watching Rey Mysterio. We just, you know, depending on how you feel, you just watched Rey Mysterio early in this week. Could you imagine, you know, Eddie Guerrero versus Seth Rollins or Eddie Guerrero versus Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles?
Oh, I mean, it would be,
yeah,
it'd be nuts. It'd be nuts. And speaking of nuts, I want to divert for a second because I just saw a tweet from Becky Lynch, and she's everything right now. Apparently 2 days ago, I missed this, and someone sent it to me. She never mentions it by name, but she writes on the first, "The only way I should be an 11 is if the question is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how hot is Becky Lynch right now?" And sure enough, she's talking about the PWI Women's 500. And God bless her, because that's just – she's got all the juice. And then she went a step further.
Wait.
Yeah.
She was 11?
Yeah, she was 11. I can tell you who I can tell you who 1 through 10 are. And you can tell me if you think they're a fit. So number 1's Ronda, 2's Alexa Bliss, 3's Charlotte, 4's Io Shirai, 6 is Shayna, 7 is Carmella, 8 is Nia Jax.
Yeah, I know who 7-8 is.
Yeah. 9 is Mayu Iwatani, and 10 is Kairi Sane.
See, here's the thing about that list. It's kind of like, when was that list made? Because if it was a certain cutoff point,
September 30th cutoff point was the cutoff.
SummerSlam. Okay. So if cutoff point, I would say, is like SummerSlam, yeah, then that list is fine. But if it's like up through September, nah, it's no way. She had to be way, like, I don't know, even if you're taking like the whole bulk of like 365 calendar days, she had to be in the top 10. Like, you know, sorry, Nia Jax, you got to go. It's just funny watching Becky Lynch do what she do, because I was talking to Jeremy when we were doing the show, and people were saying, no, it was Kevin. When I was doing stunt branding, people were talking about how Becky Lynch is like Stone Cold Steve Austin. And at first I was like, yeah, because it's an easy thing. But the more I thought about it, I was like, no, she's post-Attitude Era Triple H, but likable. Because that's exactly how they book her. Like, she's the heel that gets the last line over the baby faces. They make her look cooler than all the baby faces. She still acts like a coward 35% of the time, but she wins clean, and then she gets to gloat about it. Who does that remind you of? Like,
yeah,
put
Triple
Becky Lynch in a suit and put three people around her, and who does that remind you of?
Yeah, as AAA. And that's why I told Travis and I told Wade when I did his show, it would be fun to see Becky join the MMA horsewomen because they see themselves as being left in NXT by Ronda. Because people forget, out of the NXT four horsewomen, she was the only one that never won the women's title.
Mm-hmm.
So to have them all be like the bitter, like, we are scrapping, we see you as a better leader than Ronda ever was. Kind of like the if people have ever seen the Transformers series from like the early 2000s, where it was the I think it was it Beast Machines where they said like terrorize and because I'm trying to think because it was the one whatever episode whatever series it was where Grimlock was a Decepticon and he changed his call sign to whatever the Autobots did because he thought he had that much juice.
That is hilarious, and it makes sense because the funny thing with that dynamic is it's hard with Ronda Rousey being the babyface queen of Raw and all her friends of heels, and they don't separate the fact that they're all friends. Like, you can't be the whole thing is like, you know, well, she's doing her thing that way and she don't really support the actions of her nefarious friends when she shows up at TakeOver and is rooting for her evil friend to win and doesn't mind if her friends cheat. So you can only get away with that as long as they're NXT. They're not always going to be NXT, and sooner or later, they're going to come up. Having them with Becky Lynch basically kills two birds with one stone, because one, you don't have to bring down Ronda Rousey with that, and two, it elevates them and Becky Lynch, because it fits. Like you say, you know, Becky Lynch was always the one that felt like she was the, for all the jokes about Bayley being the last one to come, Becky Lynch was the one that always felt like the afterthought, you know, even when she first came, because, like, you know, Sasha Banks was the, you know, she was going to be the Rock, Charlotte Flair, and everybody loved Bayley. Becky Lynch was the girl that sounded like Andre the Giant.
Right.
It was basically a joke people made. So to see her now basically being, like, you know, the hottest thing in WWE by far, and them booking, it's still weird about how they do that. You know, like, WWE's booking weird because it's just funny that the same company can book such awesome feuds and such asinine feuds at the same time. And it's easy to say, oh, they don't really know what they have with her. It's by accident. I'm like, it's too many things they're doing with her for me to feel like they don't know what they have. Like, too many positive things. Like, she wouldn't have won Evolution clean like that if it was kind of like we just want her to go over the fluke. Because, like you say, Charlotte is Charlotte. You know,
yeah.
Charlotte is kind of like the, you know, you call it Poochie, you know, Shadow the Hedgehog, whatever. Like, whatever label you want to call her, if she's, you know, the Xbox One S, like, you're just going to push her regardless. Like, that's her. And heels normally don't win that match clean like that. And even Triple H doesn't win those type of matches clean when he's a heel. So that says a lot about Becky Lynch. So kudos to Becky Lynch. It'd been great if she could have ever had a feud with Sherry Martel, but, you know, rest in peace.
Oh, man, you couldn't have said it better. Now, before we get out of here, I want to give you time because you mentioned Jeremy, you mentioned Kevin. I want to talk a little bit about what you do weekly and, of course, how folks can keep track of you if they're so inclined.
Okay, so on a weekly basis, I do a podcast with my old friend and Torch alumni, Jeremy Mays, on the Stunt Branding Network. It's labeled We Watch Stuff, and we basically talk about things we watch, whether it's movies, television shows. Every now and then we have one of those special episodes, like somebody was locking the refrigerator, and it's normally once a week. And you can basically find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or any other thing you listen to podcasts. On special occasions, they fly me in to do Stunt Granny shows, like I'm Jonathan Coachman, and I normally do that like once every 6 weeks, and that's also in the main Stunt Granny Network, where that's strictly wrestling talk, and it's, you know, it's around with the people, you know, Kevin DeFranco, Chris Calamita, myself, Jeremy Mays. I know we just had a new woman, and I don't know her name, so I can't butcher it, and I don't want to call her this new broad, because this is 2018, but if you into wrestling talk, and it's not just WWE focus, it's wrestling period, then you can catch us on Stunt Granny. That's our sound, Stunt Granny. So you put that in a search where you listen to your podcast, and we come up.
And how about if they want to just follow you on Twitter? If you're good enough for Lexi Alexander, I think you're good enough for the masses that are listening to the Deep Dive.
Oh, and don't forget my man, Ricardo Diaz himself, Kirk Acevedo, because I just got that follow recently.
Oh, nice.
Because I gave my shout-out on Arrow. Yes, like I'm not famous like some of your callers and anything like that. So, you know, I just get in where I fit in. But you can actually follow me on Twitter if you don't mind me bullying people that talk stupid stuff about wrestling and making fun of basketball podcasts that are whiter than a loaf of white bread.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Sha, for coming on. I appreciate you rescheduling your time to do it, and you're always welcome back, my friend.
Oh, no problem. Anything for you, brother.
All right, y'all. That's going to do it for us for this week, so thank you for joining us, talking about Sliding Doors, Becky Lynch's Grimlock, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Next week, like I said, I'm going to be with Mike Mills. It'll be a little earlier. I will go live. I'll just put it out there, you know, 10 a.m. Eastern. If you want to go deep, wake up with the Deep Dive. I'll get a picture of myself with a nice swarthy mug and put it out there this week to make sure people know. But definitely, if you have a chance, if you're interested, as always, follow me on Twitter at @rich_fan. Anytime you want to talk about us, hashtag it with the hashtag Deep Dive. And of course, before we get out of here, let me give you some information from editor-publisher Wade Keller on how you can become VIP. Because remember, not only do you get shows like The Deep Dive commercial-free, you also get folks like Bruce Mitchell, Todd Martin, Travis Bryant, and of course Cameron Silky Hawkins, which is how he's known in the streets. But that's enough of my yammering. As always, dive into something new. Go Plus Ultra. Push yourself beyond what you think you can do. And surprise yourself, because that's all we're trying to do on this crazy globe. And, of course, vote. Thank y'all. Love you. See you next week.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.
No.